Would you take your copy of the scriptures and turn to the book of Matthew tonight? Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, if you would please. My heart is overflowing with the sense of celebration and thrill with the report of what the Lord has been doing, and then to be able to see the prospect of the future of these graduates and to think about the future of whatever's going to be taking place here at Ambassador in the days to come. I consider this to be a little taste of heaven just to be around this environment. This is a very, very special place. I was privileged to even be at the other location when it first got started over in Shelby, about 8 miles away, and remember being there the weekend that Hurricane Hugo came to town. And I happened to be around just prior to that, but I am also very grateful for every opportunity I've ever had to be on this property. The heartbeat of Ambassador Baptist College is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard in the report from the president the retrospect and the prospect, looking back and looking forward, and the heartbeat of this campus has always been revolving around the Lord Jesus Christ. That's by design. It's not a mistake. So tonight, we're going to go once again to the Word of God in the concluding moments of this commencement service and be reminded again of what the heartbeat of this ministry is all about. For you see, a wealthy man is a pauper if he doesn't know Jesus Christ. A successful man in the world's eyes is a failure if he doesn't know Jesus Christ. And an educated person is a fool if he or she doesn't know Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27, I would like to ask you if you could physically join me to stand with me as I read some verses of the last moments of our Lord Jesus when He was here on this earth before the mock trial. It says in verse 1 of Matthew 27, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. And when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." Remember that name. Verse 11, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked Him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when He was accused of the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto Him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered Him. When He was set down on the judgment seat, His wife sent unto Him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Thank you, you may be seated. Heavenly Father, as we go through these truths tonight, may we be reminded of why, Jesus, you came to this earth. May we see clearly the gospel. May I not get in your way of what you would like to accomplish in this service tonight. Keep us alert and attentive to the truths that we see here. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, amen. You ask any of these graduates back here if they had this date marked on their calendar, and they'll tell you without hesitancy, obviously. If it wasn't marked on a calendar, it was certainly in their heart. Or the truth is, probably for the last maybe 3-4 months, they could even tell you how many more days they had. You know, whenever there's an important appointment in life, we know when it's coming. It's marked. It's marked in our hearts. It's marked on our calendars. It's got a little note on a refrigerator. That's what refrigerators are for, right? Is to put notes up there. And the truth is, those appointments are very, very important. We've had several in our lifetime, have we not? I mean, you ask this couple that's going to be getting married soon, as I just heard, as you heard, about an upcoming marriage. They know how many days it's going to be before they're married. Maybe even got it down to the hours. You remember those days. Others in this room may have the same experience soon. We have appointments in our memory bank. Maybe when you got your driver's license. It was an important time. You weren't about to miss that day in which you took your driving test. Maybe an important recital to play an instrument, to play a big ball game, a big concert that you were a part of musically, or a play performance of some sort. Those are particular appointments that were critically important. But there are some appointments you don't have any desire to ever get there. Anything having to do with a dentist, you don't care to make it to that appointment. Although you have to go. Surgeries? Well, it's on the calendar, and it's only minor surgery when it's for somebody else. It's never minor for you. Maybe a final exam that these graduates or other students in this room could tell you about. They knew that report, that testing was coming up, was not easy to prepare for, and they wished it would never come. There are some appointments that are super exciting. There are some appointments you care never to get to. But there's an appointment for everybody in this room you'll never be able to avoid. There's an appointment coming up, my friend, that you can't miss. You can't hide. There'll be no getting away. There'll be no putting your spin on one appointment. And it's on a calendar, if you please, in heaven. It's your appointment with God. The Bible says in the book of Amos, right from the Word of God, Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. The writer of Hebrews clearly said it in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. He said, it is appointed, there's your appointment, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now I'm telling you, my friend, everybody in this room is going to meet the Lord Jesus someday. You're going to meet him. He'll either be met as your Savior, or you'll meet him as your judge. You will not be able to hide from that appointed time. It may come from a time through death, or it may come when the Lord finally brings it all to a conclusion at his second coming. But the truth is, we'll all see Jesus someday. There was a pivotal point in time in a man's life by the name of Pilate. He was the governor of Judea. Now, I want to tell you something. You didn't rise to the office of being a governor in this area of Galilee, of Judea, without knowing what was going on in your environment. He had heard about Jesus. He heard talk. He heard rumblings. He heard of the miraculous works of the Lord Jesus. He heard of the encounters. He had heard of the conflict with the Jews, the nation of Israel, with this Rabbi Jesus. And then the day came when he, Pilate, was confronted with Jesus Christ. It was his pivotal point. It was his fork in the road. It was his appointed time to be confronted with Jesus Christ. And when brought before him, Jesus was brought to him with the report that he was guilty of who knows what all. And all the report words came in various formats, and yet nothing seemed to stick to this Jesus, because he was not guilty. He was the perfect Son of God. And you hear me tonight. What Pilate said to the great multitude that night, that day, is a question that I'd like to ask of you. Pilate looked at the crowd, and when they said, "No, give us some other prisoner, but you crucify Jesus," Pilate asked this question: what should I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? Well, my question to you tonight is, what will you do with Jesus? Listen to me tonight. This is the most important question you'll ever answer in all your life. When I say the most important, I'm not just using preacher talk, and I'm not overstating it. It is the most vital. It is the most ultimate. It is the very important question of your life. Nothing will be more important. Not who you're going to marry if you're not married. Not where you're going to live. Not what you're going to do with retirement. Not what kind of a house you're going to build or what business you're going to start. The most important question you will ever answer in all of your life is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Not only is it an important question, friends, it's an individual question. You have to answer it. I can't answer it for you. This school, this institution, this college cannot answer that question. Loved ones can't answer it for you. I'm going to tell you something. If I could answer it for you, I would. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to Jesus Christ. And if I could answer for you, I would, but I can't. It's an individual question. You have to answer. Not only is it important, and not only is it individual, it's inescapable. My friend, you have to answer the question. You say, well, I don't want to. Well, there's your answer. You say, well, I'll do it some other time. There's your answer. But what you're going to do with Jesus is the most important question that's ever been asked of you. Can I take a look along with you tonight through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? This man, Pilate, every Gospel writer spoke of him. And they declared how Pilate dealt with Jesus. Because when you see how he dealt with Jesus, you may find out that he dealt with Jesus the way you're dealing with him. I want you to notice, first of all, he was annoyed. I mean, he was just annoyed with the whole idea. You could use the word aggravated. I use the word annoyed. He was angered. He was perplexed with the confrontation of having to deal with this Jesus. He didn't want to do it. You're here in Matthew 27. It says in verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? He was annoyed with the whole thing. Here's what John said. Listen to what John said in John 18. He said in verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Now listen to Pilate's response. Verse 31 says, then said Pilate unto them, take ye him, and judge him according to your law. It was his way of saying, I don't want to mess with this. You Jews, you people have a problem with this Jesus. It's early in the morning. What's the problem here? You can't even tell me what... Take him. Take him. He was annoyed by the whole experience. In the next chapter in John 19, he says in verse 9, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and he saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? In other words, where have you come from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. All in all, you see where Pilate here is aggravated. He's annoyed. I don't want to mess with this Jesus. I don't want to have to deal with him. Now don't be upset with me tonight, but I may be looking at someone in this auditorium tonight. You're a bit annoyed by the fact that you're even having to hear this message right now. Now, I'm smiling at you, wishing that you'd smile back at me. But the truth is, maybe it's a little disturbing to you. You say, I came to see a friend graduate. I came to be with some loved ones at a very special time. I didn't know I was going to get into this. And it's kind of an annoyance. Well, why was it an annoyance to Pilate? It was an annoyance because his conscience was talking to him. His conscience was telling him, I'm feeling uncomfortable around this man. When he was confronted with Jesus, he said, why should I crucify him? Listen to what he said. What evil hath he done? His conscience was bothering him. You see, the truth is, there may be somebody here tonight, your conscience is bothering you. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard facts about Jesus all your life. You've heard some explanations about Jesus. You've seen some so-called pictures of Jesus. You may even have a Bible opened up on a coffee table at home. Or maybe you grew up in a home where people spoke about Jesus. And the truth is, you're just kind of a bit annoyed of having to deal with the subject matter again tonight. Why? Because your conscience is bothering you. Somewhere in the depths of your being, inside your soul, you know, I'm accountable to an almighty God. But I don't want to deal with that right now. He not only had to deal with his conscience, he had to deal with a caring person. Hear me. His own wife said, I'm concerned about you, Pilate. I'm concerned about what's going on here. Try to get away from this thing. And a caring person was speaking to him. You've had caring people talk to you too. No doubt you've had someone ask you to maybe read something about Jesus. And maybe they've asked you if you knew that you were going to go to heaven. You've had caring people talk to you. And on another account, not only was his conscience speaking to him, not only was a caring person talking to him, Christ was talking to him. You say, well, whew, at least I don't have to face the Lord Christ. My friend, His words are speaking to you tonight. You can't avoid this. You may get annoyed, but the truth is Jesus is, the reason that you're here tonight is because He longs to have a relationship with you. Can I tell you tonight, what I'm really speaking about is good news. This is good news. Maybe you're feeling a bit awkward right now, and I don't want you to, except for the fact that we've all been there. But I'm introducing you tonight to some good news. You say, well, I don't feel like it's good news. I feel like it's bad news. What you're telling me is not real good. Well, hear me. If it wasn't for the bad news, there wouldn't be any need for good news. But there's good news because there's bad news. And what's the bad news? You and me, we're sinners. That's the bad news. No one ever told you how to sin. Nobody ever told me how to lie. Nobody ever told me how to have a rotten attitude. No, don't look at me like an angelic person out there. Yeah, you know in your own heart you're a sinner as well. We know this. The truth is, the bad news is this. We're all sinners. And we're accountable to an almighty God of heaven above. And the fact is that bad news is only answered with this good news. Jesus took care of my bad news. He took care of my sin. You see, you don't like to think about your sinfulness that much. And I don't either. I don't like to think about it. And you don't like to think about the holiness of God that much, because His holiness declares that my wicked heart puts me at odds with God. God wants a relationship with you, and He's made it possible through Jesus Christ. Now look, if I ask you tonight, do you know that you're going to heaven? I mean, if we were talking outside somewhere, and if I looked you in the eye and I said, friend, are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Now, I would suspect there might be somebody in this building tonight who would say to me, I think so. I hope so. Probably so. I'm working at it. My friends, I understand those thoughts, but that's the wrong answer. I understand. We just saw some young people awarded after a great deal of work in their time here at Ambassador Baptist College, and well-deserved recognition. I think it's wonderful. I understand there were other recognitions given earlier today and probably this entire week. I appreciate that. And that's been true for all of us, has it not? If you got a raise in pay at work, you earned it. If you received a little star on your kindergarten paper, you remember those days? You earned it. You stayed within the lines, you know? If you got an advancement of rank in the military, you earned it. If you got an award after a ball game, you earned it. So someone comes along and says, are you going to heaven? The natural inclination is, I'm going to earn it. Wrong. Friends, you don't go to heaven by earning it. You don't have a relationship with God by earning it. You can't earn it. You can't get you to God. It's impossible. You see, we get the idea that getting to heaven and having our sins completely forgiven and having a relationship with God is a reward for good living. Friends, it's not a reward. It's a gift. It's a gift to be received freely. Someone else paid for it. And who's that one? Jesus Christ. That's why the most important question you'll ever answer is, what will you do with Jesus? The fact is tonight, the truth is tonight, most of us in this room have had such training and teaching somewhere in our background that we tend to think that if I'm good enough, that at the end, God will look at my life and measure my life out and say, come on in, you just made it. My friend, it'll not be because of me, and it won't be because of you and any goodness in your life or in my life that'll get us into God. Would you be reasonable with me tonight? Just be reasonable. If Jesus did not have to die on the cross, if He didn't have to pay for my sin and your sin, if He didn't have to be the eternal sacrifice to take care of our eternal debt with God, if He didn't, if there were several ways to get to God, don't you think it'd be reasonable that God would just simply say, hey, find one of those other ways to get to me. I'm not going to make my son die a horrible death. No, the fact is, friends, Jesus is not just a way to have a relationship with God. Listen to me. He's the only way. The only way. The one and only way. First of all, Pilate was annoyed. Can I tell you quickly, number two? Not only was he annoyed, he tried to avoid him. Can I tell you what the Bible says? The Gospel of Luke tells us in chapter 23, listen to what it says. It says in Luke 23 he tried to avoid Jesus when it says in verse 6, it says, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. It was almost, you could almost hear a sigh of relief on the heart of Pilate. Whew, great. I can get this man off my hands. I don't want to have to deal with him. He was annoyed with him. He was aggravated with the whole aspect. He was angered with the thought of him. And then he heard that Jesus was from Galilee. He said, hey, wait, King Herod is over in Galilee. Get him off my hands. And he tried to avoid him. Send him over there to Herod. He wanted to get rid of him. Now, forgive me, but maybe I'm looking at somebody in this room. You've heard about Jesus. And you know that you need to get serious about God. And you know that you know that have a relationship with God. You've got to come by way of Jesus. And here's been your thought. One of these days, I'll get serious about this thing about Jesus. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Preacher, I'll take care of that one of these days. I've got so many other things I got to do. I got a business to run. I got a family to take care of. I just can't slow my world down long enough to kind of get serious about Jesus and about what all it is that you're preaching and talking about tonight. I'll do that some other day. And you're trying to avoid Jesus tonight, friend. That's exactly what Pilate did. Can I just remind you what the Scripture says? Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Every heartbeat may be your last. And you know that. The Bible says, what is your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Why in the world are you pushing the Lord aside and saying, one of these days, I'll get serious about it. Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, he that being often reproved, but he hardens his neck, will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. My friend, this is not a time to push Jesus aside. The Bible tells us that now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I was preaching to a room full of basketball players one time, and they were about to have a basketball tournament. And I said to those kids, I said, guys, I'm going to tell you something. You look over here at the table and you see a bunch of trophies and most valuable player awards. And you got family members here in the stands and you got people wanting to take pictures of you. And I said, you've gotten warmed up and you're excited about this tournament and you want to get your name in the paper. And it's all well and good and it has its place. And I'm happy for you. But I said, let me tell you something, guys. I said, the most important decision you'll make today is not, should I drive the lane? Should I shoot the three-pointer? Should I slam dunk? It seemed like everybody there could slam dunk. I watched them warm up, and I walked around like I was walking around a bunch of oak trees. I mean, they were just gigantic guys. I said, your biggest decision is not what I'm going to do with this basketball, but the most important decision is what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. And I said, I call you today to admit that you need a Savior and recognize that He paid what you could not pay. And you can't get yourself to God. And if you're interested in knowing more about Him, I said, get out of those bleachers right now and follow me over to a side room. I walked over there and eight young people got out of those bleachers and followed me over. And we dealt with them individually. And those young men accepted Jesus Christ personally that day. I was preaching in a service. A lady jumped up on the back row. I wasn't through preaching. She jumped up. I thought she was mad. I mean, she was so passionate about her movement. She made her way to the middle aisle. I thought to myself, she can't wait to get out of this building. But when she hit the middle aisle, she didn't go to the back exit. She turned toward the front. And she started, I said, well, she really is mad at me. I'm telling you, she's coming after me. I tried to keep my focus on the sermon. Well, the truth is everybody in the building was watching her come. She was coming forward, and I thought, I got to keep my sanity here. She got all the way to the front, and an associate pastor met her, and they whispered and talked to each other, and she walked out a side door with another lady. I come to find out afterwards, she said to that associate pastor, she said, I want to get saved right now. I don't know how much longer that guy's going to preach. I got to get it taken care of right now. Thought that's not the last person that's ever asked that question. How much longer? I'm not asking you to jump up and come down. But I am asking you, don't avoid Jesus tonight. Don't push Him aside. Some are annoyed. Some try to avoid. And then there was one last thing Pilate did. He abandoned Him. He abandoned Him. He took a bowl of water, washed his hands, and said, I'm done! I'm free! I'm not going to have anything to do with this man! Well, he could wash his hands until they shriveled up like prunes. But my friend, everybody's going to account to God someday what they do with Jesus Christ. He walked away from a grand opportunity. He walked away from a tremendous chance to accept the Lord Jesus as His own personal rescuer. Look at me. Everybody in this room needs to be spiritually rescued. That's what salvation is, to be saved. Everybody in this room needs to be saved. Everybody in this room can be saved. He didn't die just for a few. He died for you. He took care of your sins. You say, you don't know what I did. the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You say, well, I'm not that bad. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to be saved. We all can be saved. And we all get saved the same way, through Jesus Christ. Don't abandon this opportunity tonight. Don't get annoyed. Don't avoid. And don't abandon Him. You say, well, what should I do? Accept Him. Tonight. I mean tonight. You said, in this August gathering of people, take a look around. It's not so much August. Yes, in this very appropriate setting tonight. Tonight, accept Him. Absolutely. You say, I don't know how. Well, number one, you got to admit that you're a sinner. Do you know that? You say, well, what does that mean? Have you done anything to disappoint God? You say, oh, Morris, I sure have. A whole lot, yeah. I have forgotten most of the sins of my life, and you have as well, probably. But the ones I do remember embarrass me to death. Admit that you're a sinner. You can't get yourself to God because God is a holy God, and He cannot allow sin to be overlooked. Not your sin, not my sin, no, nobody's sins. And then you call on Him and ask Him to become your own personal rescuer, your personal Savior, and He'll save you. I mean it. Tonight. A teenage boy came to hear me preach in Rhode Island a while back. He went home after the service, and his mother, who didn't come to the service, said, son, how was that church service tonight? He said, Mom, I heard the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. She said, you did? He said, Mom, I never heard what I heard tonight. She said, what did you hear? He said, Mom, I heard that the paycheck, the wages of my sin, has separated me from God. She said, I thought you heard great news. He said, I did. You haven't heard the rest? He said, I knew that I'm a guilty person in front of God. But he said, Mom, I also heard that God has a gift of eternal life. Forgiveness of all that guilt in my life. He could forgive me through Jesus Christ. He said, Mom, I heard the greatest news. I'm guilty, but Jesus took care of all my guilt. He said, Mom, I accepted Jesus Christ in my life tonight. It's the greatest news I've ever heard. The next day, his mother called the church office and got the pastor on the phone and said, my son came home a different boy last night. All he could talk about was this great news. Is there anybody there that can tell me the same news? And on the phone, she asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior. Would you accept Him tonight? You say, Morris, I've already done that. I've already done that. So I guess I've done what I need to do with Jesus, child of God. That's wonderful. And tonight you can rejoice that you've accepted Him. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. But what should you do with Jesus? Adore Him. Worship Him the rest of your life. Adore Him. Adorn Him. Let Him be seen in your life. The choices that you make. The decisions that you make. The lifestyle that you live. Adorn Christ in you. Adore Him. Adorn Him. Abide with Him. Walk intimately with Him day after day. And then announce Him. Go everywhere telling people that the most important decision they'll ever make is what they're going to do with Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? You say, oh, I've heard about Him all my life. That's wonderful. That's great. That's not what I ask you. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? You say, well, I know some things about Him, Mr. Preacher. That's fine. That's good. But have you ever accepted Him? You say, no, Mr. Preacher, I don't think I know what you mean. Well, I tried to make it as simple as I could. You know that you need Him, don't you? You can't get you to God. Hear me. You can't get you to God. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Admit that you're a sinner. Can you do that? You're in a room of sinners. You're listening to a sinner. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus took your sin and He took care of your sin debt, your indebtedness to a holy God. I mean, He took care of it. He paid it. He paid it all. Took care of it all. And all you have to do is call on Him. You say, Morris, I don't know how to call on Him. I don't know what you mean. Well, it's called prayer. It's like you talk to somebody else. It's just having a conversation with God. But in that conversation with God, you're calling out to Him and saying, I know I'm a sinner and I need You to be my Savior for all eternity, and I'm not going to trust anything or anyone, especially myself, to save me for all eternity. You say, Morris, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how, but I want to. Can I help you? I'd be glad to help you. Now, there's nothing spooky. There's nothing magical in my words. There's nothing stated in a particular way in which it has to be stated. It's those truths that need to be understood in your heart. And with simple, childlike faith, confidence, trust, right there where you sit, can I help you? I'll give you the words to pray from your heart if you need help. You say, I've never talked to God before, Mr. Preacher. Help me. I'd love to. Say this from your heart. Say it right now. Are you ready? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Tell Him. Tell Him right now. God, I know. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell, God. I know that. Jesus, You died for me. Thank You. Jesus, You rose from the dead for me. Thank You. Jesus, You took care of my sin. I accept You now, right now, into my life to be my Savior. Make me the person I need to be from this day forward for You. I ask this with my whole heart. Did you just pray that prayer? Did you? Did you pray it? You say, Morris, I did. I really did. Then pray this. God, help me to tell others what I just did. Help me not to be ashamed for becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. My friend, I'm not in the embarrassing business. This college is not in a place that strives to embarrass people, but we've called you to accept Jesus Christ tonight. That's what the heartbeat of Ambassador Baptist College is. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, we'd love to rejoice with you. And the president is looking and I'm looking. And I'm not going to point you out. I promise not to embarrass you. But if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, would you just simply let us know that by lifting your hand up and say, Morris, I just prayed that prayer and I meant it with all my heart. Would you just hold it up? Who'd say, I prayed it and I meant it? Who'd say, I did right now? Let me look around as quickly as I can. God bless you, my friend. Wonderful. Thank you. Who else? I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Anyone else? Quickly. Don't be ashamed. We're not here to embarrass. Friend, I think I saw your hand go up just now. Thank you. Is there anyone here that say, Morris, I didn't pray that prayer, but I should have. Would you remember me in prayer? Don't embarrass me, Mr. Preacher, but just remember me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but please pray for me because I know I need to get serious about Jesus and I'm concerned about my eternity. Just pray for me, Mr. Preacher, man. Pray for me, Morris. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. All you got to do is lift your hand. I'll see it. We won't chase you down. We won't embarrass you. Who'd say, pray for me? I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Anyone like that? Real quickly. Anyone at all? Dear Lord, I thank you for at least one and maybe two, I believe, that just raised their hand saying that they put their faith, their confidence, their trust in you. Lord, thank you for Ambassador Baptist College. These ambassador graduates and these ambassador students, both past and present, want to be faithful ambassadors, salt and light in a world that is unsavory and in darkness. Help us, I pray, to step forth from this place and proclaim the message that Jesus is the one and only answer to all of man's needs. Thank you again for our privileged opportunity to be here tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it.